It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We get an inside look now on the recent ProPublica investigation that called attention to Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas accepting trips and undisclosed gifts over the years from a Republican megadonor. Call in with questions and comments about these revelations, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Justin Elliott is a ProPublica reporter covering business and politics and worked on this probe. Justin, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Great to be here.
Well, starting with the vacations, what did ProPublica's investigation uncover in these trips taken by Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas?
Yeah, what we found is that a Texas real estate billionaire and political donor named Harlan Crow has been taking Justice Thomas on incredibly lavish vacations around the world, really, for more than 20 years. We're talking private jet flights, cruises on the businessman's super yacht around the world to places like Indonesia and New Zealand. Harlan Crow owns this this sort of lavish private resort in the Adirondacks. Clarence Thomas is there virtually every summer. So some of these trips, you know, we're talking hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars for a single trip. So just a lot of travel over many, many years.
Have you done some, you know, rough estimates how much Harlan Crow spent on the justices' vacations and travel over the 20 some years?
Yeah, you know, it's hard to come up with a specific number, but it's an enormous amount of money. I mean, to give you an example, I mean, I've personally never been on a private jet, but it turns out that Harlan Crow has a particularly nice private jet. It's a Bombardier Global 5000. And if you were to charter one of these on the open market, you'd be paying upwards of $15,000 per flight hour. So if you fly to Indonesia, as Harlan Crow did fly Justice Thomas, that's like a 25, 30-hour flight. So if you do the arithmetic there, the flight alone is like hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars.
You know, this Dallas businessman with deep connections to Republicans, Harlan Crow, we hear words like the billionaire, a Republican megadonor. What has Crow done for the GOP? Can you give us a sketch?
Sure. So he's been a donor for many years to campaigns, both in Texas, where he lives, but also nationally, you know, well over $10 million over the years, probably tens of millions. But I think more relevant for this story is that he's also been very involved as a funder of ideological efforts, and specifically around the law and the courts. So he's given money to, for example, the Federalist Society, which is a well-known conservative legal organization. He's on the board of several think tanks that, among other issues, you know, do advocacy on legal matters and on the court. So he's had a long-time interest as a funder in the law. So, you know, it raises the question that we're still reporting on this, of what is the nature of his relationship with the Supreme Court justice? Is there some sort of influence here?
And Thomas's companions on these vacations, because it wasn't just like the two of them, what interests might they have before the court in the other people on some of these trips?
That's right. So we found, you know, it's very hard as a reporter to sort of get inside these trips, but we were able in a few cases to learn the identities of some of the other guests. And we're talking about corporate executives from companies like Verizon, other executives from some of these think tanks that are active on legal issues. And, you know, if we were talking about a member of Congress here, there's a whole system of lobbying disclosure where you can look up who's lobbying, how much money they're spending, what they're talking about. With the Supreme Court, it's just incredibly opaque. They don't really have to disclose anything. This has all sort of historically been a black box. But obviously, you know, the stakes when you're talking about potentially influencing a Supreme Court justice are just enormous. I mean, if you even got them to shift their thinking a little bit on a legal issue and that made its way into an opinion, that could just have huge consequences for really everyone.
talking about the ProPublica investigation of Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas's relationship with billionaire Harlan Crow. And we have journalist Justin Elliott, who worked on this probe. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Let's bring in Lisa in Madison. Lisa, hi. What would you like to bring up?
Hi. Actually, 2 points. Aside from the trips, it's my understanding that he also goes to Harlan Crow's, estate or whatever, out east, I believe, somewhere where a lot of these other people are also invited. And there's a painting of Thomas with some of these very wealthy people at this estate. But the other point that I wanted to bring up is Harlan Crow, I believe it was in the ProPublica piece, also is the individual who helped to put the video together where Justice Thomas talking about how he's your everyday man who prefers to go camping and can't, you know, go to the take his RV to the Walmart parking lots, which you juxtaposition this against these ultra expensive, vacations. I don't even really know what word to describe for what that implies.
Lisa, thanks for the call. Justin, can you give some clarity there?
Yeah, absolutely. So Lisa is correct. There's a whole series of sort of financial entanglements between Crow and Thomas. And one of the examples is Crow contributed several hundred thousand dollars to the production of this documentary about Clarence Thomas's life called Created Equal. And this was a documentary that actually aired on PBS, I believe, but it was made by a bunch of sort of friends and supporters of Clarence Thomas to present a very sort of friendly picture of his biography in response to coverage of things like the Anita Hill case. And just sort of, they were upset about negative press coverage essentially over the years. So Crow helped fund that. And in that documentary, Justice Thomas claims that he prefers sort of hanging out in Walmart parking lots and driving around the country in his RV to taking sort of fancy vacations to Europe. And while it is true that he does in fact own an RV and he does sometimes travel around the US, you know, before our story, he somehow failed to ever mention publicly that he is sort of regularly jetting around on private jets. He is, you know, on a super yacht and is, taking vacations that really only the very richest people in the country can afford.
What of all this has the justice put into disclosure documents?
Right. So that's the other big issue raised by our stories, which is it turns out Supreme Court justices, like many other federal officials, are required to disclose most gifts over a few hundred dollars. In this case, Justice Thomas didn't disclose any of these trips. We talked to a number of ethics lawyers who said that many of these trips, especially the ones involving private jet flights, absolutely should have been disclosed as gifts, and none of them were. So all of that seems to be just violations of this law that was passed actually after the Watergate scandal back in the 70s that requires disclosure of this kind of thing.
Let's bring in Jim in River Falls. Jim, what is your question?
Good morning. Thanks for the show. Yeah, I have heard, about congressional investigations or what Chief Justice Roberts could do, taking off, the chief writer for legal opinions and things like that. But can the American Bar Association have any effect on this? I mean, I know a lot of professional organizations, they could revoke somebody's license, like for doctors or veterinarians, things like that. Can the I'm just wondering what the American Bar Association could do, if they could censure him or revoke his license, and what their impact might be.
Jim, thank you. Justin, how could a potential reprimand happen?
It's a great question, and I honestly don't know the answer to what the Bar Association could do. I mean, I think one of the larger issues that we've been getting out these stories is that Supreme Court justices, not just Justice Thomas, seem to be sort of operating and living in a atmosphere of something close to impunity. I mean, there's in the rest of the federal government, there's an entire infrastructure of ethics lawyers who, you know, make sure people are disclosing what they should be. And if they don't, there's potential enforcement. You know, people can get fired and that sort of thing. With the Supreme Court, it's a black box as to whether anything like that exists. It doesn't appear to exist. You know, we're still looking at all that. And one thing that has happened is that the Senate Judiciary Committee has announced that they're going to hold hearings related to all this. We don't know much detail about that yet, but certainly, at least in theory, Congress could, you know, do a lot to investigate all this.
Yeah, Senate Judiciary Chairman Dick Durbin, the Illinois Democrat, said that the Senate Judiciary Committee, quote, will act. ProPublica reporter Justin Elliott here explaining what his nonprofit newsroom discovered about Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas. Be part of this conversation. Call in with questions, comments, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We examine issues of disclosure and ethics in the Supreme Court. This following the ProPublica investigation on how Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas accepted lavish gifts from a billionaire businessman for over two decades. Call in with questions and comments, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. ProPublica reporter Justin Elliott worked on this story, covers business and politics. Justin, you've been reporting on how Harlan Crow also purchased property from Justice Thomas. What did you find there?
That's right. So, you know, for our first story, both Justice Thomas and Harlan Crow ended up putting out statements saying, like, look, we traveled together, but we're very close friends. These are family trips. After we published the first story, we found out and published a second story about actually a real estate deal between Crow and Thomas. So about a decade ago, Harlan Crow, through a company that he controls, actually purchased a house and two vacant lots down in Savannah, Georgia, that were part owned by Clarence Thomas. This transaction was also not disclosed, as it should have been, by Justice Thomas. Very unusual situation. The house that Harlan Crow bought from Thomas was a house that had been Thomas's childhood home that his elderly mother was living in and apparently still lives in. So not only was there this real estate transaction between the two of them, and we're not really sure whether he paid fair market value, but also Crow now appears to be in the extremely unusual situation of being the landlord to a Supreme Court justice's mother. Hmm. Although it's not clear the term landlord is actually the right one here, because it's not clear whether he's actually charging her rent.
Hmm. So what was the intention? Is there any understanding of why this property transaction happened?
Yeah, so Clarence Thomas has not commented on this yet. You know, we sent questions to him, as we always do for these stories. Mm-hmm. But Crow did put out a statement, and what he told us was that his intention is someday to create a museum in this building that was, again, where Clarence Thomas spent some of his childhood in Savannah. But he didn't answer a bunch of our questions. One of them was, you know, he also bought two vacant lots down the street from Thomas. So, you know, we asked the obvious question, why did you have to buy these vacant lots to create a museum in this house, sort of in a different part of the block? And he didn't answer that. And, you know, another aspect of this is, after he bought Thomas's mother's house, they did around $35,000 of improvements. They added a carport, they replaced the roof, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And so, again, how that sort of fits with the stated goal of historical preservation of this building was never really addressed.
Still unclear. The Wall Street Journal editorial board critical of your reporting, says there's no evidence that Harlan Crow received anything corrupt in return from Justice Thomas for the vacations and the gifts. Why should people be concerned about free vacations that a Supreme Court justice has received?
Yeah. You know, it's true that at least at this stage of the reporting, there's no evidence that we've uncovered of like a direct quid pro quo where Harlan Crow has gotten something. Although I will say that we're still reporting, and if anyone out there has information about this, they should get in touch. But, you know, we've been thinking about this question of influence in a kind of broader way. Obviously, it would be quite interesting if there were some sort of exchange. But, you know, I've covered Congress for a long time. And when you look at the money that gets poured into lobbying in Congress, you know, lobbying works, but it's not usually a direct exchange of money for a vote. It's kind of a broader spectrum than that. You know, if you spend time with a public official with power, you can, you know, present certain ideas to them, present certain narratives to them, sort of shape the way they think. And if that process can sort of be lubricated by giving them gifts or campaign donations, or in the case of Clarence Thomas, taking him on fancy vacations, then that obviously is going to make the subject of that sort of lobbying more sympathetic to the views being presented. Now, we don't know what is happening between Crow and Thomas, and Crow has actually said that he is not trying to influence the justice. But you know, because all this is happening sort of on private jets and super yachts that are not open to the public, of course, we just don't know at this point what is being discussed. So you know, it's something we're still looking at.
We have ProPublica journalist Justin Elliott on the investigation of Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas's relationship with billionaire Harlan Crow. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Lisa is here from Milwaukee. Lisa, what is your question?
Hello. I wanted to know, how long has he, the gentleman that is on the radio right now, how long have you been investigating? Is it Clarence Thomas or the other guy that you've been investigating?
Justice Thomas.
I was wondering, with the new world that we're having with the, equality for blacks, does it seem like you have a modern day kind of hanging for Clarence Thomas, you know, going after him? If you said in your speech that we haven't found anything yet, but we're still looking.
Justin, go ahead.
Yeah. With respect to the first question, my colleagues and I on this have been reporting on the Supreme Court basically since the beginning of this year, so 3 or 4 months. And actually, we're reporting on the entire court. These happen to be the first stories we published, but you know, I can't talk much about what we have coming. But I guess I can just say, stay tuned. We plan to have other stories on the court, not just about Clarence Thomas.
Do judges face looser restrictions around these things in members of Congress? I mean, Wisconsin just held the most expensive state Supreme Court race in U.S. history. Judicial ethics, a major theme of the campaign. Are the ethics guidelines for SCOTUS different from other federal judges or even state high court judges?
Yeah, they absolutely are different. So, you know, to broaden the lens, I mean, to other branches of government first, members of Congress, for example, they couldn't even accept many of the gifts we're talking about, like setting aside the question of disclosure. You know, I have friends that work in the federal government just as normal, you know, sort of mid-level or low-level folks. And they say, you know, we have to be careful about people even buying us lunch. And so Supreme Court justices and judges more generally, federal judges, have very few restrictions on the sort of gifts they can accept. There are some, but they're few. And the Supreme Court has fewer rules even than other federal judges. So, for example, federal judges below the Supreme Court have a code of conduct, like mm-hmm. a code of ethics that says what you sort of can and can't do. Mm-hmm. But that code explicitly does not apply to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court Essentially, the setup is that they are supposed to police themselves, and with matters of ethics, with matters of recusals, when there's potential conflict of interest in a case, whether they, you know, step away from that case. And there's been repeated controversies about this around recusals, not just with Justice Thomas, with a number of justices over the years. And so, you know, one of the things that's happened in the wake of the stories we've been doing is that there's been sort of renewed conversation in Congress about potentially tightening up the rules around all of that and bringing the Supreme Court more in line with other branches of government when it comes to these ethics rules.
Justin, thank you for joining us.
Thanks so much.
Justin Elliott, reporter with ProPublica since 2012. Find a link to ProPublica's investigation at wpr.org/mornings. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.